Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're looking at something that feels incredibly relevant for so many people right now. Finding strength, finding hope through faith when the economy just feels really shaky.
Yeah.
We're talking about those real anxieties, job worries, layoffs, the cost of everything just climbing and climbing, you know. Groceries, gas, housing.
Right. And what that does to your planning, your savings, retirement thoughts. It's a lot of pressure, a real sense of things tightening.
Exactly. So
yeah.
Our goal here isn't to ignore how tough things are. Not at all.
No.
Yeah.
But we want to really dig into how faith can offer a kind of framework, maybe, sorts of real resilience when times feel so uncertain.
Navigating it with trust.
Yeah. And we're looking at some material that leans into this, and it really connects with that idea in Philippians 4.19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus.
That's a powerful verse to anchor this.
Right. So think of that as our sort of touchstone for today's deep dive.
And what's key about that verse, I think, is it's not saying difficulties vanish.
No.
It's about needs being met within the hard times. It suggests this deeper current of support, even when the surface feels chaotic.
Okay, so let's talk about that chaos, those choppy waters. What are the specific economic anxieties that, you know, the sources highlight? What's bubbling up?
Well, it's a few interconnected things, really. You've got the immediate shock of layoffs, maybe reduced hours, jobs feeling less stable. That hits the income right away.
Right. The direct hit.
Then there's that slower, constant grind of rising cost.
Yeah.
You know, your money just doesn't go as far. Groceries, utilities.
Feels like you're losing ground even if your income stays the same.
Exactly. And underneath all that is the longer term worry. What about savings? Retirement? Is there enough security?
Yeah.
It all adds up to this feeling of being, well, overwhelmed, constantly on edge.
Yeah, that feeling like things are kind of spinning out of your control. Even when you're trying your best, that seems key. But okay, the material we're exploring doesn't just leave us there in the anxiety. It moves towards some really compelling stories, real examples of faith showing up practically.
Yeah, tangible stuff.
Let's start with Emily. She's a single mom, gets laid off. What stood out to you about her story?
Well, what's really interesting with Emily is, yes, she prayed, but it seems like that prayer kind of activated her community connections in very real ways.
How so?
It wasn't just thoughts and prayers, though that was there. People from her faith community helped with childcare. They shared job leads from their own networks. Someone even helped out financially for a bit.
Wow.
And all that support, that network, it led her to find a new job. And actually, a better one.
A better job.
Yeah. So it really highlights how faith can work through actual people, through community action.
It's like the prayer opened the door, or maybe opened her eyes to receive the help that was kind of already there waiting.
Could be, yeah. And then you have Mark, small business owner, costs are going up, squeezing him hard. His story is different.
Right, not the same community focus.
Less about direct community aid, more about seeking guidance. He didn't just sit back and hope. His faith seemed to push him to look for a new way forward for his business. He's facing maybe having to close, right?
Yeah.
So he spends time praying, reflecting, asking for direction. And that sparks an idea pivot to online services.
Ah, adapting.
Exactly. Creative adaptation. It wasn't a magic bullet. No guarantee it would work. But his willingness to change his model, driven by that search for guidance, it stabilized his business.
So faith fueled innovation for him. Interesting.
Yeah, a proactive response, not passive waiting.
So Emily found support by leaning outward into her community. Mark's faith seems to have sparked more of an internal shift, a change in strategy. And then there's Linda, a retiree feeling isolated, stretched financially. Her story adds another piece to the puzzle.
Linda's experience really brings out the power of connection, especially against isolation. That feeling of being alone just made her financial worries feel so much bigger.
I could imagine.
But when she got involved with a church group, she found first that crucial emotional support. Just knowing she wasn't alone.
Huge.
And second, practical info. She learned about local resources, senior discounts, support programs she had no idea existed, things that could actually help her budget.
So the faith community acted as like an information hub too, not just emotional support.
Exactly. Both tangible aid and that vital sense of belonging.
Okay, so we have these three different situations. Emily, community support leads to a job. Mark.
Yeah.
Faith drives business adaptation. Linda. Connection brings emotional and practical help.
Mm.
What's the common thread here? What ties these together?
Well, if you boil it down, it seems like faith wasn't necessarily the solution itself, but maybe the catalyst.
Okay, explain that.
It fostered connection to people, to creative ideas, to resources. It encouraged them to engage with their problems, you know, actively, not just resign themselves.
Right, not passive.
And it gave them a framework of hope, something to hold on to that kept them going through the tough parts.
Okay, that makes sense. So we see how faith can play out in these real-life challenges.
Mm-hmm.
But what about when it's you, the listener, right in the middle of that pressure cooker?
Mm-hmm.
The source gives some really practical steps, things you can actually do to strengthen your faith when money is tight. First one, daily prayer.
And the emphasis here isn't on like long, elaborate prayers. It's consistency.
It's checking in.
Yeah. Even brief moments, intentionally turning your thoughts, your worries towards your faith. It can really shift your perspective, make you feel less alone with it all.
Like a daily reset.
Yeah.
Okay. Then, focusing on scripture. And the source gives that example, Matthew 6.26, about the birds. How does a verse like that help when you're stressed about bills?
It's a powerful way to reframe things, isn't it? It points you towards this bigger picture of care.
Right.
If even small creatures are looked after, maybe there's a fundamental principle of provision that applies to us too. It encourages trust beyond just what you can see right in front of you, beyond your own bank account.
Trusting in something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then there's leaning on community, actually reaching out, being honest about struggles, letting people help. That sounds hard for a lot of folks.
Oh, it is, definitely. There's pride, maybe shame, fear of being a burden. Our culture pushes self-reliance so much.
Yeah.
But the whole point of community, especially faith community, is often that shared understanding. We're in this together. We help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Letting others in can actually strengthen relationships, and you might get practical help or ideas you'd never find on your own.
So vulnerability is key there. And the last practical step mentioned is taking wise action.
Right.
Budgeting carefully, looking for opportunities, but doing it all while trusting in God's guidance. It's that balance, isn't it?
Exactly. Faith doesn't mean sitting back and doing nothing. It's about integrating your faith into your actions, making smart, responsible choices.
Doing your part.
While also letting go of the crippling anxiety about the outcome, trusting that there's a bigger plan you're participating in.
Okay. Now, the source also points to some specific biblical anchors, verses that people find really grounding. We've got Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
And lean not on your own understanding.
In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. What's the power in that when you're facing financial fog?
Well, it acknowledges that sometimes, especially when we're stressed, our own understanding is limited. We can't see the whole picture.
Sure.
It encourages surrendering to a wisdom greater than ours, trusting that if we align with that, a path forward will become clearer, even if it's not clear right now.
Then there's Isaiah 41.10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God.
I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.
That one speaks directly to the fear, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. That feeling of helplessness that comes with money worries.
Mm-hmm. It's a direct counter. You're not alone. There's strength available. There's help. It's a promise of presence and support, a very direct comfort. And finally, Jeremiah 29.11, hugely popular verse. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in a future. Why do you think this one resonates so much when things feel uncertain?
Well, it offers that long view, doesn't it? Beyond the immediate struggle.
Exactly. It speaks about an underlying intention for good, for well-being, for a future with hope, even if the present looks really grim.
It fights against that feeling of despair. Like, this is it. This struggle is forever.
Right. It reinforces that the current problems aren't the end of the story. And like the source notes, even when circumstances change constantly, the message of God's faithfulness in these verses, that's presented as unchanging, a constant anchor.
Okay, so to make this even more practical, day to day, the source offers 5 daily faith affirmations. Short, powerful statements you can actually say out loud or repeat to yourself. First one, God is my provider and my peace. How does just saying that help?
It's about actively rewiring your focus, isn't it? By saying, God is my provider, you're consciously pushing back against the fear of lack.
Hmm.
And affirming, God is my peace, directly tackles the stress, the anxiety that financial stuff churns up. It's like grounding yourself in those truths.
Okay. Number 2, I trust God's timing and guidance. This feels important when you're trying things, looking for work, waiting for something to break. and it's not happening fast enough.
Oh, definitely. It's an exercise in letting go of control, really.
Which is hard.
So hard. It acknowledges there might be a bigger timeline, a different plan unfolding. It encourages patience, trusting the process, even when it feels slow or confusing.
Right. Number three, I am not alone in my struggles. God is with me. This really echoes that Isaiah verse we talked about. What's the daily impact of reminding yourself of this?
It directly fights that feeling of isolation, you know, when you feel like you're the only one going through this, or you have to carry it all yourself.
Yeah.
This is a reminder. Constant companion, constant support. You don't have to bear the full weight alone.
Okay. Fourth one. Hope rises in me every day, even in uncertainty. This sounds like actively choosing optimism. How do you do that when things look bleak?
It is a choice, a conscious effort to look for the good, however small.
Like gratitude.
Yeah, practicing gratitude for what you do have, focusing on possibilities, not just the problems, actively choosing to believe in a positive outcome, even if you can't see the clear path yet. It's cultivating hope.
Okay. And the last affirmation, God's promises are bigger than my problems. This one really zooms out, puts things in perspective.
It does. It frames your current challenges within the larger context of your faith. It's saying, whatever this financial hurdle is, it's not bigger than the God you believe in, not bigger than the promises you're holding on to. It scales the problem down relative to your faith.
Powerful stuff. Now, finally, the source turns it back to you, the listener, posing two direct questions.
Mm-hmm.
How has your faith helped you through financial struggles? And what scriptures, prayers, or practices have given you strength? And it really encourages sharing those stories. Why is that sharing part so important?
Because hearing someone else's real story breaks down that isolation we talked about. When you hear how someone else found strength, how they navigated a similar challenge using their faith, it gives you concrete examples. It builds solidarity.
Makes it feel less theoretical.
Exactly. It reminds you you're not alone on this path, and there are lots of different ways faith can show up and help. Your story could be exactly what someone else needs to hear.
So, wrapping up this deep dive then, the main takeaway seems to be, yes, economic times are uncertain, they're challenging, no denying that.
Absolutely not.
But those challenges don't cancel out the promises or the foundations of faith. The material consistently points back to this idea of God's faithfulness, steadiness, goodness, being there, regardless of what the stock market or the job market is doing.
Precisely. It's about finding your anchor in those unchanging things when everything else feels like it's shifting under your feet. And realizing that within that faith, there's a deep well of strength, of resilience that you can tap into even when you feel at your weakest.
It really leaves you with this thought, hopefully an empowering one. That you, listening right now, you might be stronger than you think.
Yeah.
And that navigating these economic headwinds with faith as your guide, as your compass, that's a real powerful option.
Yeah. And maybe one final thought to chew on. Consider how building up that inner resilience, that fortitude through your faith, how that might ripple outwards.
Beyond just your own situation.
Yeah. How could it impact your family, your friends, your wider community, especially when many people are facing similar economic pressures? It suggests that your individual faith journey can actually contribute to a collective strength, a shared resilience, something to think about.